The Outdoor Guys are in session. Whether you're joining us via podcast subscription, we invite you to review us wherever you may be listening to us via podcast, as well as early on a Saturday morning via the airwaves of WBT Radio. The Outdoor Guys, Bill Barty, TJ Boggs on the other side.
Good morning.
TJ the DJ is what we'll call him. All other Outdoor Guys are on assignment. But that's A-OK because we have plenty to talk about. And one of the busiest people around Charlotte is a man that covers development in Charlotte. That has him talking to developers, citizens, policymakers, and others to find out what is happening in Charlotte. However, he's also been an avid hiker since moving to North Carolina. But before we get into the fun subject of hiking, we need to talk a little bit about walking within the city of Charlotte. And Eli Portillo of the Charlotte Observer, the development reporter, has been covering that, and we're going to bring him on right now to talk about what's happening with the car versus pedestrian situation. Eli, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thank you for having me.
Man, it's great to have you. This is a serious subject and the not fun part. We're going to talk a little bit about getting out into the countryside, into our North Carolina mountains in a bit. But talk to us about the cause, at least via your research in the articles, of the spike in deaths between 2017 and 2018. The numbers are both almost equally high. What's the cause?
Well, Charlotte set a record for the number of pedestrians killed, unfortunately, in 2017, with 27 pedestrian deaths. In 2018, we've got about 6 weeks to go, and we've already seen 25 pedestrian deaths here in the city. So we're on track, unfortunately, for another record year. Now, this isn't just a Charlotte trend. Nationwide, pedestrian deaths have been increasing the past decade or so. Experts can't point to one exact cause, but they point to a few things that'll be familiar to Charlotteans. One, people are walking more. It's gotten, much more walking friendly in some neighborhoods, and that encourages people to get out and rather than take a car everywhere to go by foot. At the same time, gas prices have been low the last few years, so we're logging more miles in our cars. So we've got more people on the sidewalks and trying to cross streets. We've got busier streets with more cars at the same time. Also, there's distracted walking, distracted driving. It's not clear how much cell phones play a role in this, but that's another factor experts point to. In Charlotte, we see that there's a clear trend of which roads are deadliest. It's not the neighborhood streets where people worry about kids chasing after balls and running in front of cars. There has not been a single death on a local neighborhood street, you know, with the kind with 25 mile per hour speed limit this year in Charlotte. Hmm. Instead, almost every death we've seen, more than 80% of them, are on two or four lane roads with a speed limit of 35 or 45 miles per hour. That's North Tryon Street, South Tryon Street, Graham Street, Beatty's Ford, Sharon Road. Those are the kind of roads that we see, unfortunately, this major spike in deaths occurring.
Well, and roadways are a constant topic these days. Of course, transportation in not just Charlotte, but other cities all over, but especially Charlotte, because these are the roads that we drive. That is a constant topic. Scooters in Uptown and South End and in other places in Charlotte are also, in fact, Eli, you've written about those as well. That is a constant topic as of late. What is the awareness factor of this this trend that's occurring right now with pedestrians?
You know, I don't think it's gotten as much attention as it should. The number of pedestrian deaths is, on an average month in Charlotte, it's gone up to two or three people a month dying on our streets. Most of them are crossing outside of a crosswalk, so a very common profile is someone trying to cross mid-block. We just had this week someone trying to cross mid-block on Sharon Road near South Park, hit and killed. Here's a stat that really surprised me. 90% of pedestrians will die in a 40-mile-per-hour crash. That doesn't seem all that fast if you're in a car, but it's almost universally lethal. So I think we really need to pay more attention to this, both as drivers and as pedestrians, And I hope that it starts getting more attention in the city.
Well, and that's part of what we're trying to talk about. Of course, we encourage people. It's Thanksgiving week upcoming, and people are visiting friends, family. They're out traveling. Just as you said, gas prices are low, record, or at least in the past 12 years, more and more people traveling 50 miles or more. We want people to be safe. I was out running an errand. I'm one of those people, I guess, Halloween night. And I was in a neighborhood, but I think I have a new pet peeve, and it is walking etiquette. And I don't want to correlate that with pedestrian deaths, but, you know, walking on facing traffic, which is what you learn in school. Great groups of people don't do that at all. Of course, we talk a lot about biking as well. Sidewalks versus roadways, riding with traffic and that sort of thing. So anyway, Eli Portilla, he's covering it with the Charlotte Observer, transportation, but especially this upcreep in pedestrian deaths, and we want everybody to be safe out there. We're going to move on to a more friendly subject because, Eli, you've been around a little bit from Massachusetts to Florida to Washington, D.C. to Fresno, California, but when you moved to Charlotte, you took up a new hobby. I think hiking may be a new hobby, and you talk about a lot about development in your articles and your research and your writing. But now we're going to talk about a more natural development, the sport of hiking in our North Carolina mountains. You're publishing this stuff out on the Charlotte Five, and it's been on your website as well as the Charlotte Observer. Tell us what you've learned. Besides barbecue and besides college basketball and besides sweet tea, about your adopted home of North Carolina?
Well, I was never a huge hiker growing up. You know, I didn't do Boy Scouts or any of those programs that get you outdoors more. I wish I had, but I grew up in the D.C. suburbs, and it's probably more concrete and asphalt than mountains. Moving to North Carolina, I got introduced to hiking and from there to backpacking, and I kind of just expanded from going to Crowder's Mountain right near Charlotte to getting tired of that and going to further state parks, then getting, once I'd hit all the state parks within a 2 to 3 hour radius, going a little further afield to some other places in the mountains of North Carolina and Virginia, Tennessee as well. So I've kind of been widening my circle, and what I've been really just blown away by is the diversity of hikes and landscapes that you can encounter within a 2 to 3 hour drive of Charlotte. It's really been, for me, just a wonderful experience and great to gradually expand my circle of weekend getaway jaunts.
Well, and you've given a lot of people a gift, and whether they're visiting friends in this area or maybe they are grew up here. There are a few people who grew up in this area who are still here and have not yet taken on some of the hikes that you have taken on, and maybe hiking is new to them for whatever reason, and we're glad they're listening to the Carolina Outdoors so that they may be enlightened at this time. You covered a whole bunch of different places, but I'm gonna get you to walk through a few of them. Will you tell us a little bit about Callaway Peak to Grandfather Mountain?
Yes, so this is a really fantastic hike. For my money, I think it's the best hike you can do in a North Carolina state park. This is accessible off the Blue Ridge Parkway, and what you do is you just park. I believe I have the exact mile marker listed in this story, but it's also just on Google, and Google Maps actually takes you there. It works. You park in a pull-off lot right off the Blue Ridge Parkway, and you're able to take the Daniel Boone Scout Trail up to Callaway Peak, which is a sister peak of Grandfather Mountain. And this hike just gives you a ton of different landscapes, different zones as you move up. You start off going right off the Blue Ridge Parkway, so you can still hear the traffic. But then before long, you go up a series of switchbacks and through some different forest zones. And you pass different sites that include some great overlooks of the Lynn Cove Viaduct and also a downed aircraft, a Cessna that went down, I believe, in the 1970s, which is right off the trail, and you can probably see it from the hike, if not just keep your eyes open for it.
Yeah, and, how hard is that thing to see? I mean, it's a 40-year-old airplane crash or so.
Sure.
And it,
wow. Well, it's still got, you know, the white paint and the aluminum from the frame, so it's not too hard. I did it in, the early winter, and a lot of the vegetation was off then, so that probably makes it a little easier. In the summer, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult, but it's not very far off trail. You know, we're talking 10 to 20 yards, so you should be able to see it. And once you get closer to the peak itself, you start encountering a few ladders. And these are wooden ladders that are permanently bolted in place. They carry you not up quite vertical, but pretty close to vertical inclines. They cover maybe 20 to 30 feet of rocks that you would otherwise be scrambling hand over hand up and would be pretty difficult. So that is probably the most exciting and dicey part of this hike. I would advise you to pay attention to your footing, and especially if it's wet out, which it is there pretty frequently. If there's any ice in the winter, exercise, more care for sure. But, you know, if you are an experienced hiker, or even if you feel like you want a new challenge, I would say, you know, don't let the word ladders scare you away from this. Just exercise caution. You know, I did it, and I'm certainly no daredevil.
Hey, the voice you hear right there is development reporter, easy for me to say, Eli Portillo with the Charlotte Observer. And we are talking to him not about development here in Charlotte at this time. We're talking to him about hiking because he got the yeoman's task of the Charlotte Observer to go travel to these beautiful places, not just in North Carolina. He went into Virginia, some into South Carolina as well, and took on this project of writing about hiking trails. Eli, how did you get that gig? Are you doing it on the side, or did they give
yeah,
you this?
Yeah, more of a volunteer gig. you know, I've gotten really into, like I said, hiking, and love all the places I've been, and I was able to basically pitch a series of articles where I said, hey, you know, I'm already doing this stuff, and I really like it. What if I wrote a series of stories as a hiking guide for people? And they said, sure, go for it. So for me, it's a combination of fun and work.
Well, listen, you're a team player, because I think I would have said, oh, yeah, they're paying my way all the way through on these hiking trips.
Yeah, right.
All the coworkers would be all upset. Listen, we're running out of time, but we have to get you to hit a couple of more. It's the highest peak east of the Mississippi. You know what it is, TJ Boggs?
I do not know.
Oh, that's a Georgia boy over there.
Yeah,
it's
know.
Mount Mitchell. So all of the school kids across the Carolinas learned this back in fifth grade.
At me now.
Eli, tell us about Mount Mitchell and the highest peak east of the Mississippi.
Well, I've probably hiked Mount Mitchell and the surrounding trails four or five times in the last 2 years. I think I've gotten a clear view one time. It's a beautiful view when you can get it, but it is often obscured by fog. The weather changes quickly, clouds come quickly, and, you know, at this time, it's already winter up there. We're talking over 6,600 feet, so it's a beautiful place to hike, and there are two routes I would suggest. One is if you park at the Black Toe Campground. There's a creek there, and you can start at around 3,000 feet and basically hike for 6 miles up a series of switchbacks that feel like they will never end. And that'll take you up to Mount Mitchell. When you get to the top, you'll see people who drove there, and that's you know, somewhat disheartening sight at that point. But you'll know that you did it the hard way.
You earned
it.
Do it.
And listen, it earned the quote, Eli Portillo, the Charlotte Observer, butt kicking. And that is in the article. And I've done that hike.
A lot of straight up.
It is butt kicking for sure. Ooh. Lastly.
And you can also, I've also done this where you drive to the top and then hike away from Mount Mitchell up the Black Mountain Crest Trail. And you can hike north there. And what you'll find is as you hike away from Mount Mitchell on the Black Mountain Crest Trail, you will go over a series of peaks. Each of them is over 6,000 feet, and that includes great mountains like Big Tom. And you'll just keep going up and down. It feels, you know, you'll understand the term Sawtooth Ridge. It feels like you're hiking over the teeth of a saw because it's straight up and straight down. What I did most recently there was I parked at the top, Mount Mitchell, and then I hiked past Deep Gap, which is about 5.5 miles, and then I turned around and came back. I saw some stunning views. I only saw two other people this entire 11 to 12 mile day hike, and I saw, I believe, four different sets of bear tracks. So be bear aware around there. It's a beautiful place.
Oh, listen, we're not supposed to do this, but we got to get it in because it's called the Grand Canyon of the East. Really quick, Linville Gorge. What did you think about that?
Linville Gorge really reminded me of hiking I've done out west in Washington State. It's it feels so rugged, so isolated. The trails are really rough. I only went about 1 mile an hour once I got to the bottom of the gorge, and it's just a beautiful place. I would highly advise you, if it's your first time there, to go with someone and with a good topographical map, because even though it looks very simple, it's just a gorge. It's north-south. That's it. It is a rugged and wild place, and it's only about 2 hours from Charlotte, so definitely check that out. Also, this is the time of year where if you catch a warm weekend, you don't need a permit to camp there, which you usually do need in the warm months because it's, you know, so popular they limit the number of people. So this is a great time to check it out. Linville Gorge, you know, you'll think you're in Colorado for a little while.
It is one beautiful place. You've been putting this together since the summer, I do believe. I'm going to invite everybody to go to the Charlotte Observer to check it out. Also, Charlotte 5. Eli's probably just as easy to follow you on Twitter at ESPortillo. That's P-O-R-T-I-L-L-O. And they can see these articles as well as all the other things that you're helping cover with the Charlotte Observer. Eli Portillo, thank you so much for joining us here with the Outdoor Guys on the Carolina Outdoors.